Blog Talk Radio.
General Petraeus.
can't believe you're falling for this theater. It's all baloney to muddy the waters and the fallout after the Ambassador Stevens was taken out by, in quote, those who wanted him silenced. Guess who? Let's just say elements within our own ranks. And he sends this article by Canada Free Press. It's called A Hidden Truth About Benghazi. And it goes into a great bit of detail, but it says he's alluding to the fact that this was a major distraction to cover up the Benghazi problem and the arms running and all the other problems that they were having there that Stevens was involved with.
But it seems to me that it's drawn attention to it.
Yeah, kind of, isn't it? But, you know, it's like...
So, I don't know. But read the article.
The article kind of, like, leaves you hanging in a way.
It's very confusing.
It's kind of confusing as to how the affair was linked to the cover-up, which was linked to everything else. But, you know, it's interesting. Let me read this for you. So the hidden truth, the hidden real truth about Benghazi. But most people know that we've been lied to about the attacks in Benghazi, but few realize the extent of those lies or the hidden secrets they tell. After all, the lie is different at every level. Thanks to a well-placed source with extensive knowledge about the attack, the disturbing truth is slowly beginning to emerge and is lining up with information contained in my previous articles published here weeks ago. The truth reveals the most serious situation in the world today as it involves the interests and destinies of us all. A mosaic of lies. Now I'm going to read part of this and I'll have you can read something.
Yeah, it's kind of a long article. And it's a bit hard to follow.
It is, to the extent that the logic of the involvement of the affairs and this are kind of,
Very twisted.
A mosaic of lies. According to the U.S. government, Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans were killed during a spontaneous protest at the consulate office in Benghazi by a frenzied crowd of Muslims outraged over an obscure internet video. Recently released sensitive but not classified emails from Stevens to the U.S. Department of State painted a picture of poor security for U.S. personnel and the embassy, which was obviously true, but had little to do with the events of September 11, 2012. It's just odd that it would happen on September 11th, too.
Yeah.
You know, 11 years after the incident. The failure to dispatch an extraction team or otherwise rescue the men during a firefight that lasted upwards of 9 grueling and torturous hours was not the result of any intelligence failure, but caused by our willingness to widen the conflict and expose the nature and the scale of our true mission in Benghazi. Based on information provided by my source and corroborated elsewhere, the official account by administration officials is a mosaic of lies that were necessary to cover the intelligent truth of covert actions taking place in Libya, Syria, Turkey, Jordan, and Lebanon. The primary objective to our covert action was to secretly arm anti-Assad rebels in Syria by funneling arms from Libya to Syria via Turkey with other destinations that included Jordan and Lebanon. Regarding the threat to Stevens and the other murdered Americans, the truth will reformat the persistent questions posed to government officials about U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice to White House spokesman Jay Carney and others from how could you not have known to how could you have done these things.
First, it is important to understand that Ambassador Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods were not killed at a consulate office in Benghazi, as there is not such an office there. They died at one of the largest CIA operation centers in the Middle East, which was located in Benghazi and served as the logistics headquarters for arms and weapons being shipped out of the post-Gaddafi Libya. Although the U.S. government insisted that Stevens was not involved in securing and destroying the numerous caches of arms and weapons once under the control of Gaddafi, the operation was more complex than that. The visual accounts of weapons being destroyed were indeed real, but those weapons were not operational. The working weapons were actually separated and transported to holding facilities for their eventual use in Syria. Russia was fully aware of this operation and warned the U.S. not to engage in the destabilization of Syria, as doing so would endanger their national security interests. Deposing Assad, as despotic as he might be, and replacing him with the Muslim Brotherhood-led regime would likely lead to an unrestrained Islamic chaos across the region. The Turkish warning. According to my source, Ambassador Stevens was in Benghazi on September 11, 2012, to meet with his Turkish counterpart, who reportedly warned Stevens that the operation was compromised. They met in person so that Stevens could be shown overhead satellite images taken by the Russians of nefarious activities taking place in Turkey. But just what were these nefarious activities? It is reasonable to suspect that these activities were more dire than just your average gun-running operation. Since the overthrow of Gaddafi, it is estimated that upwards of 40 million tons of weapons and arms were shipped out of Libya to Syria. But it was also known inside intelligence circles that Gaddafi possessed chemical weapons in addition to numerous surface-to-air missiles. Could it be that Russia obtained unmistakable surveillance footage of the anti-Assad rebels being shown how to load chemical payloads into missiles inside Turkey near the border of Syria? Weapons, of course, that were shipped from Libya by the CIA in conjunction with various Muslim Brotherhood rebel groups. If so, such weapons could be used as false flag type of operations. One that would be implemented to set up Assad by making it appear that he was using these weapons on forces dedicated to his overthrow. The blowback by the international community would be swift and punishing, and the entirety of the civilized world would be demanding his overthrow. NATO would then be used to expedite his ouster, and Russia's moral position within the international community would be weakened. Was the meeting held to show Stevens that the operation was compromised and that they had to stop? Here, Neil will read this. This is kind of a long section, and then I'll read the next section right here.
A nation-state-sponsored attack. Well, the administration asserts that the attack in Benghazi was conducted by a group of rebels acting alone. The fact seems to indicate otherwise. The level of coordination that such was such that we did not deploy military assets located just an hour or two away by air to rescue Stevens and the others at the CIA Operations Center in their name and their time of need, as if the administration contends that the attack was perpetrated by a group of frenzied rebels. Our military could have easily handled them in short order, so why was there no rescue operation?
That's a good question.
It's true. Perhaps the statements made yesterday by Leon Panetta, U.S. Secretary of Defense, provide some insight into the essence of those statements. Among other things, Panetta said, the basic principle is that you don't deploy forces into harm's way without knowing what's going on. Well, it has been confirmed we did know what was taking place on the ground in Benghazi. And so exactly what did Panetta mean by this statement? Against the backdrop of the official story, it makes little sense. If, however, one considers the alternative that the attack was coordinated and was a nation-state-sponsored attack, then it becomes clearer. Panetta and the highest levels of administration likely knew exactly what they were doing and knew that the operation was compromised. They knew or had reason to believe that the attack was being conducted at a nation-state level in response to our covert operation in Libya and arming the anti-Assad Syrian opposition. And not to mention, it happened on September 11th.
Mm.
Okay, although Russia figures prominently here, Iran now comes into focus as Russia is not likely to directly engage U.S. forces. They must, however, protect their interests. Much like we were using anti-Assad forces to advance our objectives in Syria, Russia, it was using Iranian-backed forces to protect theirs. It appears that the attacks were conducted or facilitated by Iranian assets, perhaps as many as three teams of assets in Benghazi. As the White House and other agencies monitored intelligence in real time, they faced a dilemma. They knew that the nation-state sponsored attack teams were lying in wait for U.S. rescue forces to arrive, which is the reason the fight did not conclusively end sooner. They did not know exactly where all of the attack teams were, but knew they were present based on signal communication intercepts. And could they risk such exposure by deploying a rescue team to Benghazi only to end up with another Black Hawk Down type scenario? In addition to that scenario, the entire operation now becomes exposed for what it is. Take another look at Panetta's statement in that context. Does it now make more sense? Bad PR in an election year? No. As daylight approached with no response from the U.S. and no aids to the Americans under fire, the attack teams had to disperse into the cover of the remaining darkness, but not before their mission was accomplished, and sadly it was. And Lila will read that part here, the last one, Fallout.
From the day of the attack in Benghazi, Iran has been engaged in full-spectrum attack on the U.S. and NATO across the board, involving embassies, bombings, and even cyber attacks. All of this is the fallout from the arms and weapons smuggling operation, which is far greater than understood by the Western media. Russia has now moved their contingent of S-400 missiles into much of Syria in anticipation of NATO establishing an air cap over Syria. A 10-mile buffer zone along Syria's border has been created for Syrian refugees, but it also acts as a catalyst for the encroachment into Syrian territory. It sets the stage for further advancement and erosion of Syrian land, incrementally, of course. It is also of critical importance to note that last week, Russia completed large-scale exercises of their strategic nuclear forces under the watchful command of President Vladimir Putin. These were the first such nuclear exercises conducted since the fall of the Soviet Union. To those with discernment, it is obvious that we are at the precipice of World War III. Putin himself stated as much, noting that World War III will not start in Iran but Syria, his own red line in the sand. So that's a bit scary.
Yeah, it is. It's really kind of frightening. Thank you.
What were you looking for, Leo?
I was looking for...
You don't want to leave dead air here?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to get out of here.
Are you going to another site?
Yeah, I'm going to get out of there now. I read those two articles.
What about the one on Petraeus?
We just read that. That was the one we just read.
So that was on Benghazi. I thought you had one on Petraeus.
That was the Petraeus article.
Oh. Okay.
That was the one that John sent me.
Oh, okay.
All right. You're talking about the one I wrote, which was a quickie about Petraeus.
Oh, I see.
And he didn't quite agree with me.
So he sent you that in response.
He sent me this in response to say that it was... See, I didn't... my article was simply... we call it General Petraeus Affair.
Uh-huh.
And they talked about it. I couldn't understand the affair, quite frankly. I couldn't understand how it was generated as a...
No, I don't.
Yeah, do you feel that way too?
Yeah.
In fact, before I go to that, I'm going to just go to that because maybe it's worth talking about. I think I wondered about it, but I really didn't have any I didn't have any.
It seems like it's an easy way to get somebody out of the way. I mean, John Edwards fell for the same scam.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. Well, Edwards put it after the. This one is called, this is on my website, I wrote it the other day, yesterday. It says General Petraeus Affair. I was sorry to hear about the General's affair, but knowing something about affairs of the heart, I can understand some of what he's going through. His lady friend was too much for the guy to resist. She was a hot 40-year-old woman, 20 years younger than he was, who devoted several years to gaining his confidence enough to write his biography. He'd been away from his wife and family for nearly 5 years, commanding the Iraq and Afghanistan operations. The opportunity to have a sexual affair was there. It appeared that his girlfriend got angry at another woman and sent a few threatening emails to her. Perhaps her jealousy, fear, and anger prompted the threatening emails, but it was the stupid move on her part that caught the attention of the FBI. Why would an intelligent woman who knows her emails are not private send a threatening email to someone? And why would the general send his girlfriend salacious emails, knowing his email account was not private and could be viewed by the FBI and other security agencies? The real irony in all of this is that the general was the one man in this country who had control of all the national military secrets and accepted his new appointment to the CIA while he was having an affair. One would think of all people, one would think that he, of all people, could have kept this affair secret. But the general faced bullets and fierce enemies in his entire career, but a romantic seduction is the only thing that ever wounded him. I guess what I was getting at here is the questioning of how stupid, and this other girl, Kelly girl.
I don't understand.
There was Alan. Not only did she have emails and close relationship with Petraeus, but
there's other guys.
Over 30,000 emails, you know, in less than a year's time to this guy. I mean, she must have been zapping him, you know, 20, 30 emails a day, you know, or more. I mean, to get that kind of, can you imagine 30,000 emails? I've never sent you 30,000 emails.
Thank you.
I can't even imagine sending, you know, what that would involve, you know, to do that. Can you?
She's probably texting all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm getting into my car now.
Yeah. And this is the general.
That kind of thing.
And this is the general getting those who's supposed to be running the Afghanistan operation.
So how could he have time to respond to 30,000 emails?
Hello, yeah.
You know, what kind of operation is it?
What kind of operation is he?
Are they running?
Yeah. No.
If, in fact, they really are their emails.
Yeah, well, according to you say that.
I mean, I find the whole thing very, very difficult to believe. It seems so adolescent.
Does it, though?
It's very adolescent. I mean, we have trouble in schools with kids putting stuff on Facebook that they shouldn't put on.
Yeah.
But they're 12.
Oh, yeah.
These people are in their 40s and 50s. Come on.
I know.
I mean, you know.
It's so stupid. It's beyond.
It's pathetic.
It's pathetic.
It's really pathetic.
And these are heroes. These are the people that, you know,
God, help us.
The great chosen ones, you know. Lord Almighty.
The incompetence is mind-boggling to me.
Well, here's something by John Lennon that says, the more real you get, the more unreal the world gets.
He said some profound things.
Yeah. I want to read this. This is not a very long article, but it's
one
of the
only...
I was going to read this thing on
Japan. You know, before you get into that, I just wonder what other people are thinking about this whole thing, if they think
I wish somebody would call us, so we don't have enough listeners out there, but, you know, it's I wish people would chime in on that.
Comment on that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. No, that's okay. I'm curious, but there's no real, I haven't found anything really other than what you said. But most people are really questioning the whole thing. Does it make any sense?
Sent me 30,000 emails, I would immediately block them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You block them. Yeah, you'd absolutely block them. No?
I don't care who they are.
Well,
I would think that would be harassment. That's the way it would feel to me.
Yeah. Well, while we're in the middle of blowing your mind here tonight, we want to blow your mind a little more. I think we should take a little music break.
Okay.
A short one, because we're going to read you 40 outrageous facts most people don't know.
So you want to read that before the music break? Yeah, why don't we read it before the music break, and then people can have
digest,
a little break, digest that. I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, you're going to be digesting this one.
Boy, I couldn't believe this one.
This one can really freak me out.
Me too, I have to say.
Yes.
It was like, oh my God.
This is from the
trenches. But maybe our audience won't be freaked out. I was.
Well, I was freaked out. So our audience might be. Well, but here, it says the 40 outrageous facts most people don't know. This is by Chris near Las Vegas. this is posted on the From the Trenches RealReport.com.
Okay, the first one.
The IRS was.
Treasury, the IMF, issues the SS-5, not the Social Security Administration. The new SS-5 forms do not state who or what publishes them. The earlier SS-5 forms state that they are Department of the Treasury forms. You can get a copy of the SS-5 you filled out by sending form SSA-L996 to the SS Administration.
20, CFR Chapter 111.
Whatever that means.
So far, B42.4.
That doesn't mean anything.
Read
to me
the
site
above. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, the CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, is behind this shit. Okay. There are no judicial courts in America, and there has not been since 1789. Judges do not enforce statutes and codes. Executive administrators enforce statutes and codes. So what the hell is a judgment?
Just sits there.
Black rule.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? They don't enforce them? Yeah.
Well, they don't make any real decisions.
Well, I know that a few bastards I've been in front of have made some decisions that have cost me money. Sorry, mister, $150. Sorry, mister, this is, for speeding or whatever the hell you're in for. Okay. There has not been any judges in America since 1789. They have just been administrators.
Administrators of the law. They're not really judges.
According to the GATT, G-A-T-T, you must have a Social Security number, House Report. 103-826. Number 11, we have the one world government. We have one world government, one world law, and one world monetary system. Number 12, the UN is a one world super government. Number 13, no one on this planet has ever been free. This planet is a slave colony. There has always been a one world government. It is just that now it is better organized and has changed its name as of 1945 to the United Nations. The New York City is defined in the federal regulations as the United Nations. New York City is defined in the federal regulations as the United Nations.
Rudolph Giuliani stated on C-SPAN that New York City was the capital of the world, and he was correct.
Social Security is not insurance or a contract, nor is there a trust fund. 16. Your Social Security check comes directly from the IMF, which is an agency of the UN. Now look at it if you receive one. It should have written on the top left United States Treasury.
Well, you don't receive one. It's direct deposit.
No, I know. It is now. But
it has been for quite a while.
Your tax returns says U.S. Treasury.
Does it?
Yeah. But but the U.S. Treasury is an agency of the U.N. Yes.
You own no... This is number 17.
Okay.
You own no property. Slaves can't own property. Read the deed to your property that you think is yours. You are listed as a tenant. Sentence document 43, 73rd Congress, first session. Number 18. The most powerful court in America is not the United States Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. I don't understand that.
I didn't understand that either. But that's nevertheless, I guess there must be a Supreme Court there.
Number 19. The Revolutionary War was a fraud. Number 20. The King of England financially backed both sides of the Revolutionary War. Well, we know that. And as history repeats itself, Prescott Bush, father of George H.W. Bush and grandfather of George W. Bush, funded both sides of World War II. The Bush family have been traitors to the American citizens for decades. And this is a quote. Sarah, if the American people had ever known the truth about what we Bushes have done to this nation, we would be chased down in the streets and lynched. George Bush Sr. speaking in an interview with Sarah McClendon in December of 1992. Number 21. You cannot use the Constitution. Constitution to defend yourself because you are not a party to it. Number 22, America is a British colony. The United States is a corporation, not a landmass, and existed before the Revolutionary War, and the British troops did not leave until 1796. Number 23, here's an interesting thing. Britain is owned by the Vatican. Number 24, the Pope can abolish any law in the United States. Number 25, a 1040 form is for tribute paid to Britain. IRS publication 6209. 26, the Pope claims to own the entire planet through the laws of conquest and discovery. Number 27, the Pope has ordered genocide and enslavement of millions of people. They're from the papal bull. The Pope's laws are obligatory to everyone. Number 29, we are slaves and own absolutely not and nothing, not even what we think are our children. Tillman versus Roberts. And Van Corten versus Van Corten. And Weimerhammer versus the people. That would be interesting.
I'm not surprised by the way you get this paper that gets away from me, but
that's true.
It happens every day.
Military dictator George Washington divided the states into districts. 31. The people does not include you and me. Barron versus Mayor in the City Council of Baltimore. Number 32, the United States government was not founded upon Christianity. Treaty of Tripoli. Number 33, it is not the duty of the police to protect you. Their job is to protect the corporation and arrest code breakers. Number 34, everything in the United States is for sale. Roads, bridges, schools, hospital, water, prisons, airports. Number 35, we are human capital. Executive Order 13037. Number 36, the UN has financed the operation of the United States government for over 50 years and now owns every man, woman, and child in America. The UN also holds all of the land in America in fee simple. I don't know what that means. So we're renting from the UN?
Well, the UN owns everything. Alex Jones did a documentary a long time ago he went through all the national parks. And he saw this sign.
I saw that.
In the biosphere. And what that means is, and it means that that park is now a biosphere preserve
under the
charge of the UN. Okay? Not the United States. But so because in the final days of Clinton's...
He signed everything away.
He started signing shit all over the place. He signed all these environmental bills and everything. And before we knew it, we wound up having biospheres. He put up, for the debt, despite this, we were supposedly running a surplus under his thing and everything, but what he did is he wound up selling off ports and wound up selling off things to the Chinese and putting up places for collateral. I mean, the national parks for collateral to the UN.
Yeah.
So we weren't being dealt, we are the UN. So, I mean, it's like, we are the IMF, rather.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't quite understand this. I would have to be probably extra.
Number 37. The good news is we don't have to fulfill our fictitious obligation. You can discharge a fictitious obligation with another's fictitious obligation.
Right.
The Depression and World War II were a total farce. The United States and various other companies were making loans to others all over the world during the Depression. The building of Germany's infrastructure.
It's just, like, it's just exactly what happened in this, when the Fed lent all the other countries trillions of dollars of our money.
Yeah.
All right? And we were going to collapse. No, it's just totally.
The building of Germany's infrastructure in the 1930s, including the railroads, was financed by the U.S. That way, those who call themselves kings, prime ministers, and Führer, etc., could sit back and play a game of chess using real people. Think of all of the Americans, the Germans, who gave their lives thinking they were defending their countries, which didn't even exist. The millions of innocent people who died for nothing. Isn't it obvious why Switzerland is never involved in these fiascos? That is where the Bank of International Settlements is located. War is a manufacture to keep your eye off the ball. You have to have an enemy to keep up the illusion of government in place. Number 39, the United States did not declare independence from Great Britain or King George. Number 40, the etymology of government means to control the mind, from the Latinized Greek gubernatio, management, government, and from ancient Greek. And also, I can't read the Greek, but...
this means steering, pilotage, guiding...
plus mente.
To steer, to drive, to guide... to act as a pilot.
Plus the Latin ment means mind. So to steer the mind is what it means.
To steer the mind, right.
I just wanted to go back here for a minute. There was something...
You can get this on now.
From the trenches, worldreport.com. I just wanted to go. There was something that was highlighted in green that I... Oh, the most powerful court in America is not the United States, but the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. Let's just see if...
No, I'm curious why that would be.
I thought maybe it would tell us. Just X out here. No, right there. Well, we couldn't find out more about that. I was curious as to. Okay, why don't we play a little quick little music break and before you can think about those 40 reasons.
So anyway, we'll be back in about a half.
Yeah.
read this article. It's called CNN Article Bashes the Growing Number of People That Question Mass Media. And this goes to the
Yeah, go to the actual article.
Oh, okay, straight down here. But in the past year or so, we've seen several media, our mass media outlets reporting on the popularity of conspiracy theories and of alternative news. However, in every case, the resulting article is not an objective report on a growing phenomenon, but an all-out hit piece bashing those who dare question the official story dictated by mass media with strong words and specific labels. The recent article published by CNN, entitled Still Paranoid After All These Years, does a great job of equating all those who use critical thinking for guzzling down the toxic drink that is mass media with all its kinds of crazy. The word paranoid is used about 10 times in the article, as well as the word panic, wingnut, lunatic, dupes, derangement, irrational, extremism, idiot, fearful, and insecurity. Another way the article places the label of crazy on people who think outside of the TV box is by mixing ridiculous theories with those that are more credible in order to lump them together and to discredit everything that is not the official story. Yet another classic technique is to associate those who seek the truth with racism, terrorism, and other scary isms. A fourth way to discredit non-mainstream information is to equate those who write about the alternative news and conspiracies as money-hungry crackpots. All of these techniques are in this CNN article. One particular passage of the article is quite intriguing, as it ridicules those who research extremely powerful organizations such as the Trilateral Commission. Yesterday's paranoid types feared elite groups such as the Illuminati and the Masons. Today, boogeymen include the members of the Rockefeller-founded Trilateral Commission and the politicians and financiers who attend the moneyed confab of the Bohemian Grove and are suspected of mapping out the New World Order. Well, perhaps the author of the article forgot that the founder of CNN, Ted Turner, is a member of some of the most important elite groups in the world, such as the Council of Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergs. He is known for having donated over $1 billion, that's 1,000 millions of people, dollars to the United Nations, the leading force working toward the creation of a new world order. Furthermore, he is one of the most vocal advocates of massive depopulation, even going on record saying that the world population should be reduced to 2 billion in the next 100 years. That's a 70% reduction. And here's the article.
And where is the article from?
It's from CNN.
Oh, okay.
And still paranoid after all these years. We do not see things as they are. We see things as we are. CNN, ever have the feeling you're being lied to by the news media, the authorities, the corporate world, that somebody or something is out to get you? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to 21st century America. Look around. Trust is hitting historic lows. Just a third of Americans have a favorable view of federal government, a decline of 31% since 2002. And according to the Pew Center for People and Press, Gallup has Congress approval rating is in the low 20s. And after nearing single digits last summer, and the news media aren't much better off. Well, negative opinions about the performance of news organizations now equal or surpass all-time highs on 9 of 12 core measures. The Pew Research Center has been taking track since 1985. Add in our wired social media addicted world, and rumors reign. You've heard them all, whether they involve the presidential candidates, global climate change, or illegal immigration. There are little open secrets. They give us the sense that we're onto them. Opinion. What really is at stake in election 2012? It's easier to be suspicious, says Jeffrey Bond, a political science professor at Assumption College in Worcester, Mass., There is something attractive in thinking that you know something that you haven't bought into the mass public opinion. The aptitude is nothing new. In a famous 1964 essay, The Paranoid Style Assault of American Politics, historian Richard Hofstadter traced what he called the paranoid style through American history. What he found was that a fearful strain of mistrust flows through the blood of the Republic. Whether it was 18th century religious leaders worried about the Illuminati, or political politicians suspicious of immigrants, or McCarthyites convinced of communist infiltration. While Hollywood has dined out on these feelings for years, the Manchurian Candidate, the Parallax View, Wag the Dog, the TV series The X-Files, even the James Coburn comedy The President's Analyst, all are based on the idea that some kind of secret, malevolent operation is going on behind the curtain. It's American as apple pie, food, razor.
Well, anyway.
What, you
want to... No, I don't think it's worth reading that whole thing because it's just promoting that album.
Yeah. And to 17% of Americans, President Obama is a Muslim. 65% of that group are uncomfortable. It's not enough for many opponents to disagree with the president on the issues. He has been characterized as a socialist and even an anti-president.
Well, I don't think we have to read that, Leo, and why promote that?
Well, I'm just saying, Mitt Romney had his own problems. During the Republican primaries, he struggled to attract evangelical voters who considered his Mormonism a cult. I do too. It wasn't until mid-October that the Billy Graham organization decided to remove that designation from its website. Oh, I get it. I didn't know that.
No.
Yeah, Billy Graham, I guess that Mormonism was a cult.
Oh, it is a cult.
But he took it down.
Wasn't popular.
In mid-October, we took it down before the election because Romney was in it. The election year, in fact, had been one for the books. Facts apparently don't matter anymore. Both campaigns are wearing pants on fire ratings on the fact-checking site called PolitiFacts. Both sides had lightly ignored them. Move forward. After the Romney campaign was called out, some falsehoods pollster Neil Newhouse responded, "We're not going to let our campaign be dictated by fact checkers."
We're going to lie.
We're going to lie like hell. The worst are the actual laws on the books based on some kinds of perceived threats. Oklahoma banned courts from considering Islam's Sharia law. Oklahoma's laws have been temporarily blocked. Texas State Republican Party even created a platform opposing critical thinking in the state schools.
Oh,
I didn't know that. And so
in Texas?
In Texas. Opposing critical thinking. And so can you imagine how stupid those people must be when they come out of there? Well, a spokesperson was quick to point out that the platform regards critical thinking as another name for outcome-based education, for which the platform criticizes as having the purpose of challenging the students' fixed beliefs and undermining parental authority.
So they want people who don't
think. They don't want people to think. You know, kids can think because they challenge fixed beliefs and undermine parental authority. Paranoia isn't on the fringe anymore like it was in the Hofstadter's day. It's now closer to the beating heart of the mainstream. The fringe has begun to blur with the face, says John Edward Avalon. Other lunatic fringe is hijacked in America. As the title of Avalon's book indicates, he's concerned about this. That's the key to the dynamic, and that's the key danger. Now, the key danger is that the son of the bitches wants you to believe everything they tell you.
Yeah. Don't think.
I mean, this our show is devoted, dedicated to trying to bring some kind of alternative news to you, so you don't have to sit and listen to that to get beaten over the head by the crap that the television's pushing.
You can make up your own mind what you believe.
Yeah, we're not saying you got to believe this stuff. All we're saying is you got to think.
This is another view.
Now this is CNN writing to try to persuade you that everybody but them is crazy. You know?
Yeah.
Now, Ted Turner is out of his friggin' mind. He's a nightmare. He's a crazy man. All right? And yet, you know, he believes...
A very wealthy one.
But he believes in complete and total population reduction. Huh?
And that means you and me, folks, because he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He'll be dead, I don't know.
He owns huge tracts of land all over the world.
He owns a million acres just in Montana.
Wow.
Alone. Yeah. Yeah. And he's killed buffalo.
What did James Fonda got away from?
Hey, he makes buffalo burgers. He's got five restaurants out there now, buffalo burgers. Yeah. Because he raises them on his ranch.
Was it James Fonda who was married?
Yeah, he's I guess it's cash again. This is a long article. And because it bashes me, I don't want to really read too much more of it. It bashes people like us. And anybody else who questions the situation. We just got about 4 minutes left. This article concerned me because
buzz of generators pumping out power, the post-storm housing, a refugee camp on the grounds of the Monmouth Park racetrack is in lockdown, with security guards at every door, including the showers. No one is allowed to go anywhere without showing their ID, even to use the bathroom. You have to show your badge, said Amber DeCamp. Excuse me, I'm sorry, folks. Pardon me. A 22-year-old whose rental was washed away in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. The mini-city has no cigarettes, no books, no magazines, no board games, no TVs, no newspaper or radios. On Friday night, in front of the mess hall, which was serving fried chicken and out-of-the-box just-add-water potatoes, the child was dancing and dancing to nothing. We're starting to lose it, said DeCamp. We have nowhere else to go. It's taken 3 days for the tents to get warm. Power workers from out of state who are helping utilities restore electricity to the area were starting to bed down in the tent city, too. Some empty vodka bottles appeared on the muddy streets. There were now far more men than women or children, and the women said it was impossible not to notice the leering of some men. Brian Skorupski, a manager with Tolland, Connecticut-based Asplund Line Construction, had just rolled in with 50 workers who were there to help restore power. Skorupski is used to his house in the suburbs. He missed his king-size bed with his hotel collection sheets. The only thing worse than this is sleeping in your truck, he said. Yeah, it must be pretty awful.
That's a pretty horrible situation. We want to thank everybody who joined us tonight. We've got about 10 seconds to
go. Yeah, thank you, folks. I hope you... Have a good night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yeah, and so please join us tomorrow right here.
Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.